spoonful of data.
Hello and welcome to this 10th episode of the Spoonful of Data podcast. I'm Will Richmond-Coggan and I'm here with my very, very esteemed colleague, Mona Schroedel.
Hello and welcome. This episode, I convinced Will that we should both think about who our favourite fictional AIs were. And the two of us each picked our top five fictional AI. Given that it was my idea, Will, I think it's only fair if you start.
That seems reasonable. We've also put a poll out online about this just to see what people in the wider world thought. So we'll run through those at the end as well. But I wanted to start with quite a light one, and that's Holly from the TV series Red Dwarf. So it's a comedy series, BBC TV sitcom set on a spaceship called the Red Dwarf, which has become marooned sort of 3 million years away from Earth. And there's a sort of ragtag assembly of people on board, all watched over to some extent by this machine intelligence, the ship's computer, Holly. Now, Holly is probably the most benign and gentle AI that I can think of from all of the ones on our list, which is why I thought it would be a good one to start with. He's played in the first two seasons by Norman Lovett and then undergoes a sex change and is played by a female actress, Hattie Heydrich, for the next few seasons. But in both personas, is really less than competent, a bit eccentric, a bit crazy, plays April Fool's jokes.
Oh, I can see why you like it now.
Exactly. Yeah, anything to get an April Fool's joke in there. So he's just a very funny character and a world away from probably the character that he is based on, which was HAL 9000 from the 2001 Space Odyssey, which isn't one that appears in my list, but is the sort of archetype of that old-fashioned sci-fi view of the slightly ruthless mechanistic computer that just follows its instructions, even if human lives are at stake.
But, you know, HAL 9000, you sort of balance him against Gertie from Moon, and it's the complete opposite, although based on the very same thing. Have you ever seen Moon? It's a great film.
Yes, it's brilliant.
I'll move on to my number five, because if you say you think yours is the most benign, I can up that. It's Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, amazing.
You can't get more benign than him. And the reason that I chose him is he's extremely charming, but needs a lot of maintenance. And that made me think of all the times we've talked about the chatbots and how tricky it is to give them the right prompt and so on. And he embodies for me that theme of you need to constantly carry the oil can with you if you want to make sure that he's running all right. Okay. What's your number four?
Brilliant. Okay, so number four, we're coming up to date a bit more to the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the character Jarvis in those. So Jarvis, when he's first introduced, he's the sort of home assistant, effectively, like a sort of very glorified version of Siri or Alexa. And he is supporting one of the characters called Tony Stark, who's this sort of multi-millionaire playboy genius, his words. And Jarvis essentially helps organize Tony's life, but also helps him with all of his sort of scientific research and these things. And he's a very benign home automation tool. But Tony and one of the other characters, Bruce Banner, start to experiment with Jarvis and start to try and push the limits of what he's capable of. And they unleash this sort of corrupted version of the software, which is called Ultron. And Ultron very rapidly, and this is another sort of familiar trope from fictional AIs, Ultron rapidly decides that its creators are probably his biggest threat and that he's going to have to destroy them.
Logical assumption.
And so loads his software into thousands and thousands of robotic servants and sets those robots out to basically take over the world and wipe out the Avengers. I particularly wanted to include it because it's that sort of warning about humans tinkering with something that is seemingly benign and trying to push the limits of its capabilities and ending up unleashing something much, much more damaging.
You said we'd abandoned the past, but my number four goes way back. It's Frankenstein's monster. So Frankenstein probably Yes, it is AI because it's man-made intelligence, and there was no stipulation in our list that it had to be a robot. And it is definitely natural intelligence. So it, by definition, it must be artificial intelligence. Everybody knows the story. Right. What people might not know that is that it was conceived in 1816 by Mary Shelley when she was only 19 years old, hanging out at Lake Como with Percy Shelley and Lord Byron, as you do. And it was a stormy night, apparently, and Lord Byron challenged everyone in the house party to come up with the scariest stories that they could possibly think of. It took her another 2 years to fine-tune it and actually put it out as a novel. But it's an important fictional AI because it sort of plants that first seed of our ingrained fear of what something that you create can do when it turns on you.
Yeah, and I will reluctantly be persuaded, even though it's a human brain in there, that it's still artificial.
Just in case you weren't persuaded, can I present my alternative number four now?
Go on then, yes. We're going to end up with a very long list.
No. This is going to be it, I promise. But as you were mentioning when you were talking about your number four, it suddenly occurred to me that really great artificial AI are the Borg from Star Trek, where, and I think that's a really interesting one. And for people who aren't Trekkies like me, the Borg is a species, I think we would call them, of humans who have been captured and, as the Borg say, assimilated into the hive mind, which is run by a sort of queen bee computer, and they lose all their human traits like compassion and so on, and they're just turned into machines whose main aim is to assimilate as many life forms as possible and to get them into this hive and to just take the good parts from them and make them really bland otherwise.
It sounds like a sort of walking, talking computer virus. But,
I think they're interesting because if we think about our fears about AI, and certainly what I'm worried about, the Borg actually is a really good example of everything being sort of watered down and there not being that much, I don't know, eccentricity anymore, something that makes human life sort of interesting and exciting.
Considering that there is that characteristic of computers, that they're quite emotionless, it's strange in a way that the early AI sort of push at the moment is really all around creative sector. You know, it's about replacing people creating copy or art.
I imagine that Zale, it's probably easier to get them to do art things where it's not a right or wrong, black or white answer. And it's also easier than getting them to do the dishwasher, which is the AI that, as you know, I'm waiting for. What's your number three?
And that's the computer Deep Thought from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, written by Douglas Adams. And it's a sort of creation that reflects both his humorous sensibilities, but also the time that he was writing in, which was a sort of simpler time as far as computers were concerned. So Deep Thought, this is like effectively the ultimate supercomputer that the galaxy has created to answer the biggest question of all time, the question of life, the universe and everything. And Deep Thought seems to have a certain amount of self-awareness, and it's able to interface in a conversational way with humans. But ultimately, it's been developed as this computational engine to churn out the answers to that question. And notoriously, I don't think this is a spoiler for anyone who hasn't read or seen it, but ultimately, after millennia of processing, it spits out the answer 42. And everyone is dismayed and sort of says, 42? Well, that doesn't tell us anything. How are we supposed to make sense of that? And Deep Thought says, well, I think the problem is that you didn't actually know the question you were asking. Once you understand the question, then 42 will make complete sense. So they say to him, all right, well, what is the question? And he says, oh, no, I'm not enough of a computer to answer that question for you, but I can help you design that computer. And so he then designs a much more sophisticated organic computer, which is an enormous sphere covered with lots of organic elements that all interact with each other to produce this outcome. And it's called the Earth. And over 8 million years, the Earth is basically this sort of massive organic computer that's churning away to produce the answer. And unfortunately, this being Douglas Adams, 5 minutes before the program is due to complete its task and produce the answer, the Earth is demolished to make way for an interstellar motorway. But I just like that idea. And I like the idea of a computer being sophisticated enough to know what it doesn't know. And also to potentially to help you then design the native.
I'll push to find a human who understands what they don't know.
Yeah. So there we go. What's your number three?
Number three must not be missing on any list. It is the Terminator, the one and only Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he has to be on there because he's cool. He's cool both as a baddie and a goodie. He's wearing shades for starters. He's got catchphrases, hasta la vista, baby. And okay. I thought the Terminator's interesting because, well, once you've watched all of the series, it highlights the bit about the potential for good and bad. It's like, do you use your powers for good or evil? So that fear that we've got about AI taking over the world or annihilating humans and so on, I think that's captured in the Terminator, where you have what is effectively a tool. And depending on how you program it, it can, you know, go rogue or it can show up for you. What's your number two?
That's a very good one. Well, picking up on that theme of the capacity for good or evil, I've gone for the imaginatively titled Machine from the TV series Person of Interest. And I think this one really probably, of all of the ones we've talked about so far, one of the most realistic applications of AI in the modern world, even if it's quite a dystopian one. And that is the idea that effectively after 9/11 in America, they would create this machine, which is going to draw together all the intelligence that it can, interceptions from mobile phones, text messages, emails, all of these sorts of things, but also anything else that it can find on the internet, and that it will produce profiles of individuals and identify from making an assessment of all of that information, which of them pose the potential threat of, in the future, creating a terrorist incident or some sort of national security incident. And then those people will be designated persons of interest, and then a team will be tasked to go and take them out before they can actually commit the crime or do the action that...
I really loved that series, actually.
It was just such an interesting idea that you've got this machine that is working away in the background, but doing, in a sense, what we're sort of starting to see, this idea of almost predictive policing, that you use characteristics like people's postcodes and their socioeconomic history to make predictions about the ways in which they might behave. Now, in the one hand, you can see that for a limited resource police force, being able to make targeted interventions in particular ways might be beneficial. But as the series developed, you saw how that capability could easily be misused by people to further their own agenda rather than a national security agenda.
Can I get to my number two? And we're going back to Star Trek now.
I'm not surprised.
And I've picked Data. He's the obvious artificial intelligence. He's not evil at all. He's clearly a valued member of the team. He's an android who supports everyone, but he's acutely aware that he's missing a layer of understanding that all his other team members have, and that is that he does not understand human emotion. And he famously, he plays the violin and he plays it absolutely faultlessly, but he understands that however well he plays, there's something missing in it because he can't feel the music. That makes him very interesting, I think. And it is an element of artificial intelligence that I think is missed at the moment. That understanding that no matter how intelligent the machine appears to be, no matter how very eloquent the answer that it gives back to you is, it can't possibly understand feelings and emotions. A machine will just never be able to commiserate with someone over heartbreak because they will never have had a heartbreak. And you can't program it to simulate that. So that's really my number two.
Yeah, and that leads really neatly into my number one. And this one, I have to say, emerged out of a discussion with one of my kids who reminded me about this very, very great AI. Rasputin, who is from a computer game called Destiny.
Oh, you've lost me already.
Yeah. Destiny is this sort of post-apocalyptic game, and you're fighting over this sort of scarred and damaged earth, that most of which has been destroyed in war, and you're sort of protecting the one area of the planet that's left, supported in this task by what's called a war mind. So essentially the idea is, in the backstory, that there were these huge supercomputers, a little bit like in the movie War Games in the 80s, if you know that one.
Again, you've lost me.
Okay, right. So, but the idea was, effectively each side in the war would have had these war minds, which is AIs that were tasked with running the battle and targeting enemies and all of these types of things. Rasputin gets badly damaged during the war, but survives. And a young woman effectively then retrains the AI, but she uses, among other things, exposing it to lots of music, lots of art of different types. Exactly. And in the process, imbues him with emotional intelligence, right, and that sort of sympathy for humanity, which previously had been lacking. And what is created is then a benign force, still incredibly powerful, sort of godlike levels of powers, but with humanity's best interests at heart, because of that sympathy for the human condition and the understanding that you were talking about. Ultimately, that leads Rasputin to sacrifice itself. He takes the noble sort of self-sacrificing route. So okay, I thought that would be a nice sort of view of AI to end with.
Yes, I feel bad now, because the AI that I've chosen as number one gets burned at the stake.
Oh, okay.
That's a bit of a turnaround, isn't it?
Yes, isn't it? So who's that?
It is Maria from the 1927 black and white silent movie Metropolis, directed by Fritz Lang. Now, if you ask me, that is an absolute classic. So it's set in the future, even though it's 1927, and the future humanity is basically divided into workers who live underground and who labor at machines, and the elite, which lives upstairs in this just a beautiful city, which the skyscrapers and flying cars and all that, and the visuals are amazing. Maria is a human who lives underground, and she is preaching a sort of compassionate view. She's preaching that someone will need to reach out, and there has to be some sort of peaceful way of coming together. And what then happens is that the guy who's running the elite realizes that, and he convinces a mad scientist to imprint Maria's likeness on this robot, which he does. The robot then turns everyone against everyone, basically. I mean, Mata Hari's got nothing on her. She does this rather wild, which is probably the nicest way I can describe this, burlesque show with the elite, and they all start killing each other. And then she goes down underground, where she has this hate speech and gets all the workers to abandon their city and to sabotage the machines. In the end, they realize she's not the real Maria, but only once they've captured her, get this, and burn her at the stake, when it becomes obvious that she's actually a robot rather than the real Maria. So they were quite happy to throw the real Maria on the fire. I think that brings us neatly back to our last episode on deepfakes, because certainly the workers, let's forget about the elite who sort of had a sexual fixation with her, but the workers trusted and believed her when she suddenly changed her pacifist ways to hate speech. And that was because there was a relationship of trust with this lady, and the mayor of the upstairs city knew that, and he manipulated them via her to do something that was going to be what he thought was going to be ultimately beneficial for him. And that is an artificial intelligence risk that I think is there, and we ought to be very conscious of that. If we start having deepfakes, avatars, things that appear to be real when they're not, there is an inherent risk of manipulation there, where someone can hijack it and make you change your views because someone you trust tells you something. So, gosh, I've left this on a really terrible note. I should have stopped with the Borg, I think. So, Will, you took a poll from our listeners because you weren't satisfied with just hearing my top five. What did the poll say?
Well, it's been really interesting. We've had really good responses, and thank you everyone who submitted their responses. We asked separate questions about TV and other media and then film, but I'm just going to sort of lump them together for the purposes of giving us an overall top five. In fifth place, we had The Agents from The Matrix, which is an interesting one. Holly, who I mentioned before from Red Dwarf, in fourth place. C-3PO from Star Wars. Kit from Knight Rider, and then at the top of the poll, Skynet from the Terminator movies. Any thoughts on any of those?
Yes, I suppose it's not that surprising because I picked the Terminator. So, Skynet, top number one. In a way, it is a bit surprising, isn't it? Because when we worry about where artificial intelligence might go wrong, I suppose my mind immediately goes to Skynet.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, exactly. I wonder whether maybe our question was a bit loose, what we meant by favourite. But I think it might worry me a bit that most of our audience prefer that type of AI to the more helpful ones a bit further down the list. I'm pleased with how high C-3PO came. And Kit from Knight Rider, we didn't talk about Knight Rider at all, but that's another sort of autonomous vehicle. You know, we really ought to have had that in the list.
So there were also some honorary mentions of AI that we didn't even think about at all. And do you remember the TV series Humans?
I've never seen that.
I do. And that one was really interesting. So they were all human-like androids. And it threw up all sorts of questions about how you could treat them because they were part of the family. But then one of them was being abused by the dad, and it was all like, but it's a machine. But the machine sort of has feelings too, or even if it doesn't, does it matter? So I'm actually really pleased that someone came up with that. And there's an honorary mention there, but I am going to fess up that honorary mention came from me, the fembots from Austin Powers. They cannot be missed.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you've already had one bonus mention this episode, but I suppose by participating in the survey, you've managed to give yourself an extra one. So, yes. Well, all right. Fair enough. Probably the less said about them, the better.
But I'm so pleased. Thank you, everyone, for voting in this. Maybe we will have to do a similar episode for episode 20, where we'll do voting again.
Yeah, I think that would be good fun. And I certainly had a lot of fun thinking about some fictional AI for this episode. So that's been great. Next week, we're moving into a slightly more serious set of topics, aren't we? We've got a series of episodes that we're going to be doing on different aspects of bias around AI.
Yep, we're going to have a bias season.
Excellent. So come back to us then for another spoonful. In the meantime, if you've got any comments, I'm going to make Mona's day by asking her to do the contact details.
Oh, no. Okay. I know this. It's at a spoonful of data.
Yes.
For all the social media. And it is spoonfulofdata@proton.me for the email.
Thank you. Yes, exactly right.
Yes, I will not be replaced by Alice. Woohoo!
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. There's also the one that turns into Quicksilver. He's potentially even cooler than, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, also a lot less nuanced in terms of good and evil.